Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Well, this morning we wanted to have a little fellowship touching on the burden from the Itero. And we'll focus mainly on one aspect, which was the matter of shepherding. So I'll share a little bit and then Willie will continue. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are a group, which is very significant. Psalm 22, if you are familiar with it, reveals Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. I'll just read a couple verses to refresh our memory. If you have it, you can open to Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? This is clearly the word the Lord quoted on the cross when the Father left him economically. Then verse 14 says, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. This was the Lord's experience on the cross. Then in verse 16, for dogs surround me. A company of evildoers encloses me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Clear reference to the cross. Then in verse 22, we see the Lord's resurrection revealed. Here he says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. This is the Lord's experience in the table meeting when he joins in with our praise to worship the Father through the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then in Psalm 24 reveals the kingdom. Again, I'll just read a couple verses to refresh our memory. Verse 1, the earth is Jehovah's.
Amen.
And its fullness, the habitable land and those who dwell in it.
Amen.
Then verse 7 and 8, lift up your heads, O gates.
Amen.
And be lifted up, O long enduring doors. And the King of glory will come in.
Amen.
Who is the King of glory?
Jehovah.
Jehovah, strong and mighty.
Amen.
Mighty in battle.
Amen.
So here you can see Psalm 24 reveals the kingdom, the coming kingdom. So Psalm 22 is the Lord's death and resurrection. Psalm 24 is the kingdom. And what is the bridge between these two? Psalm 23, which we're all familiar with, is a psalm of shepherding. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. And so forth. So this reveals to us that the bridge between the Lord's death and resurrection and the coming kingdom is shepherding. Shepherding by the heavenly shepherd and shepherding by those of us on earth responding to his heavenly ministry. So, moving on to the New Testament, the Gospel of John is a gospel of shepherding.
Really?
Many times we don't have this concept of the Gospel of John, but the gospel begins with the Lord's incarnation. And it continues with many cases of the Lord shepherding every kind of person on the earth in his earthly ministry. He shepherded the moral man, Nicodemus, and then he shepherded the immoral woman at the well. Then he shepherded the lame, he shepherded the blind, he shepherded the dead by resurrecting them. So you can see that John is really a book of shepherding, revealing in the Lord's earthly ministry his burden to shepherd. And then at the end, the last chapter of the Gospel of John, the Lord shepherds Peter. You remember Peter fully failed the Lord. He boasted that even if all were scattered, the Lord told him that they would all be scattered. But Peter rejected the Lord's word and said, even if all of them are scattered, I will never leave you. Even if I have to go to death, I will be faithful. Then what happened? The Lord told him, before even today, you're going to deny me three times. Of course, Peter didn't believe that, but then he did it. So, after the Lord was crucified and resurrected, then Peter was so disheartened and so discouraged and so convinced that he didn't love the Lord that he went back to his earthly occupation of fishing. And he led some of the other disciples with him. Then the Lord came to them in his resurrection to shepherd them. So the Gospel of John ends with shepherding. And the Lord helps Peter to realize that in his spirit he still loved the Lord, even though he was convinced that he didn't. So he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Of course, Peter had boasted that he loved them more than those. Then Peter was so embarrassed, all he could say was, "Lord, you know that I love you." But this forced Peter to turn to his spirit where the Lord's love was, where his love for the Lord issued. So the Lord infused him with love three times. "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Well, Peter had to say, "Yes, I love you," by exercising his spirit. So his love for the Lord was restored. Then the Lord gave him the commission, "Shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs, shepherd my flock." So here the Lord gave the commission to the apostles and to all of us to shepherd the Lord's flock. So the Lord, that was the conclusion of the Lord's earthly ministry. Then in his ascension, he continues the same ministry. On the earth he was shepherding.
Yes.
In the heavens he's shepherding.
Amen.
And we can see this further in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, Peter, who had been shepherded by the Lord, said, "When the chief shepherd is manifested," referring to the Lord. So here Peter calls the Lord the chief shepherd. If he's the chief shepherd, he has to have some shepherds under him. That's all of us. Of course, it's the elders, but mainly it's all of us. The elders can't shepherd everybody, even if they tried. But we all can shepherd one another.
Amen.
And our chief shepherd is ministering his heavenly shepherding life into us.
Amen.
So that we can have the life to shepherd others. Then in 1 Peter 2, 24, Peter says, "For you were like sheep being led astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So the Lord is shepherding our souls in his resurrection and ascension. He's on the throne today, shepherding us by his authority and by his love. So he arranges all our environment to shepherd us. Many times our environment is not what we would choose. We think the Lord doesn't remember us. But actually, our environment is the answer to the Lord's shepherding authority.
Yes.
He arranges the environment that we need, and he shepherds us through that environment to gain our soul. Here it says he's the shepherd of our soul. And the footnote says, our soul is our inner being, our real person. Our Lord, as the shepherd of our souls, shepherds us by caring for the welfare of our inner being and exercising his oversight over the condition of our real person. Praise the Lord for his shepherding.
Amen.
Then finally, in Hebrews 13, Paul calls Lord, he says, "Now the God of peace, who's brought up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in the blood of an eternal covenant, perfect you." So here Paul says that the Father raised the Lord Jesus from the dead as the great shepherd of the sheep. So in his resurrection, he continues to shepherd us. He's on the throne today shepherding us in the blood of an eternal covenant. That means he's shepherding us into all the reality of the covenant that he established, that he would make us his children, his sons, his brothers, that he would bring us all onto maturity, and he would produce the new Jerusalem. Amen. By his shepherding.
Hallelujah.
Well, we all need to cooperate with him in this heavenly ministry. Cooperate by shepherding one another according to his supply.
Amen.
Now, Brother Willie will share a little continuation.
For my portion, I would just like to point out a few things, and actually repeat some of the verses, because, dear saints, this is a burden that we truly believe or feel. How does this thing go? Tim says it's real easy. We really feel like this is a real burden from the head. Yeah. This is a body matter. We need help.
Of course, we all need help.
We all need help. That's a reality. And we feel like, see, even he needs help. We feel like...
Where's Timothy when you need him?
Timothy, where are you, my brother?
I got the clip on, but the mic's
up. You got the clip on. It's here. It's here.
Oh, the clip on.
You know, I'm still in the 20th century. We feel like this is a real burden of the head, so I hope you don't take this as another fellowship after the Lord's table, and then, you know, we go to the break and we enjoy some snacks and we talk about whatever. I hope you really realize, I hope there's a realization from the Lord himself that this matter of shepherding is extremely critical. I would like to make a few statements. How about this statement? Shepherding consummates the New Jerusalem. Now, what Dexter shared on the matter of, and we could see this a little bit, on Psalm 22, 23, and 24, for us to reign in the kingdom, we need the Lord's redemption and his resurrection. Obviously, we need his ascension. And then in the heavenlies, he is pouring out into us this shepherding life. The bridge is the shepherding between these two chapters, 22 and 24, chapter 23. Now, consider this, that this truth we need to experience. What truth? The truth that we will be glorified, and in the new covenant is clear, as Dexter made mention concerning the chief shepherd.
Amen.
Now, one item of the new covenant that we truly treasure is our redemption. Aren't you so happy that as you sit here this morning, your sins are forgiven?
Amen.
I surely am.
Amen.
Without this truth of the new covenant, just this one item, not all the things, just this one, we don't have the boldness. And so I enjoy this one item of the new covenant that the chief shepherd brought in. Okay. Now, we need to experience the shepherd in this aspect. We need to experience him concerning Christ. We need to experience him concerning our relationship with Christ. We need to experience him with or concerning the church as God's flock. Hallelujah. We are looking, I am looking, I have a nice vantage point. Vantage point? Vantage. Vantage point of, yeah. Vantage point of the flock of God.
Amen.
And every one of us in here, every one of us in here has a need. Dexter mentioned he arranges our environments as the head sovereignly, so that what? We all can shepherd one another. So anyway, concerning the church as God's flock, number three. Number four is this, concerning the high peak of the divine revelation. And concerning the God-man living. Dear saints, we really need to have a God-man living. This is what will bring the Lord. This is what will bring the Lord back, and this is carried out by mutual shepherding. Now, why is it, dear saints, we are not in one another's homes? Why is it, dear saints, more? Not that we're not, but more. Why is it that we do not have a house-to-house church life? Why is it that there is not the increase among us? Well, you know, I don't mean to say there's no increase. This is not an indictment. There is increase. But we should be really increased much more. And consider this. All of us in here know someone who is not, that was meeting with us, who is not meeting with us presently. If each one of us, I don't know how many of us in here, 100, 200, if each one of us knew, because since each one of us knows at least one, and if we went to that one, if we visited them, if we shepherded them, then that we would be increased. Is that a hundredfold? That's an increase of 100. So we would have 400 in this meeting this morning. There are saints out there that are waiting for us to come to them and visit them. If they, it's like this. There is almost a cry like this. Come visit me. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm distracted. I don't know why I'm not meeting. Some don't even know why. Come visit me. If there weren't anyone like this, there would be no need of shepherds. Now, consider this matter of shepherding. Well, let me stay with this point, and then I'll get to these verses that I want to mention. This matter of shepherding is like this. I'd like to make this statement, I should say. The reason we don't have 600 here in this meeting, and I think this meeting hall can take about 500. This meeting hall should have at least 500 here this morning. It should. Okay. The reason is somehow, we have lost our sense of responsibility to people. We are responsible because the Lord said in Matthew 28:19, go and disciple all the nations. That means we need to preach the gospel to get sinners saved, number one. Number two, that means we need to go visit the ones who are wounded, like in Luke chapter 10. Oh, I love that chapter. I love that chapter concerning the Good Samaritan. There are these lawgivers, and I'll get to that in the end. There are these lawgivers, and they go, and there's this wounded one, and they can't help him, because they are full of the law, and the law doesn't revive us. The law doesn't enliven us. The law kills us. So they go to the other side. But then eventually, you see, it says, but. I love that word, but. In Luke chapter 10, a certain Samaritan. Oh, I love that word. But. Mark Dial. He came to me. He didn't condemn me. He saw that I was wounded. He poured in the oil and the wine. Dear saints, we need to have this shepherding heart. Amen. For the church to be consummated, as to be built up as the body of Christ, to be consummated as the new Jerusalem. Now, a few verses concerning this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Dexter mentioned chapter 5. I would like to mention verse 4. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 4. Okay. And I didn't see this until a few weeks ago. It says this. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That means this, dear saints, we're running a race, and we want to be crowned with glory. In other words, we want to be the same as our chief shepherd is. In other words, we want to be the same as the Lord is. Okay. What is the key to our attaining this glory? The key is shepherding. mutual shepherding. The Lord shepherds us, and then we shepherd one another. Now, there are other verses, John 10. He's the good shepherd. And Dexter mentioned Hebrews 13. He's the great shepherd. And then here, Peter mentions the chief shepherd. Each for something. Each for something. The good shepherd means what? We have to lay down our soul life. Dear saints, shepherding is not cheap. That's why it's so critical. That's why it's so important. That's why it will consummate the New Jerusalem. It's not cheap. That means what? You have to stay up and if I'm crying, and if I'm a whining sheep, and I'm going to call my dear brother Ray Desimone, my dear brother Daniel, at 2 in the morning, you better get up and listen to my whining. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. I want to read... This is Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. I didn't realize, I'm sorry to say to my shame, I didn't realize that shepherding is through the, you know, Dexter mentioned the New Testament. It's through the whole Bible. It's always on God's heart. This is Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler, one who will shepherd my people Israel.
Amen.
That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. So when we go to the saints, okay, so I'm back to Luke chapter 10. So when we go to visit one another, and do visit, you cannot believe. Yesterday I had all the YP, they came to our house last night for the meeting, and I saw... I hadn't seen my little brother, Daniel Lee. Where are you, Daniel? You're here somewhere. Where are you? Where is he? Oh, he's helping over there. And I was so happy to see him. And then I saw Joanne, and I saw Joanna. Where's Joanna? There, she's there. And Haley brought them all to my house. And then I saw Hannah and Jessica, and Jessica was telling me all about how she made a cake. Don't worry about the time. We'll take a break in a second. But she was telling me she made a cake, and she made it with all kind of salt and spices. What'd you do? And then she tricked the brothers, and she gave it to them. And they ate it, and it was horrible. And I was just listening and laughing. Ah, you know. And then after they all left, and then we played a game, and then I was asking, there's Jacqueline. Jacqueline, there she is. And I was saying, oh, Jacqueline, you're a swimmer. I said, how many laps do you swim? She said, 20. I felt, I can do two. It was such a sweet time last night. I was so happy to, I said, oh, Haley, I'm so happy you brought all of them over to see me. I was so happy. Why? Because it shepherded my heart. The little white, they don't even realize they came over. Some of them were naughty playing on their little games. I said, it's okay. When we go, do we go as a law? Now I come back to that. Do we go as a lawgiver? Hey, why aren't you, now please understand me. Why aren't you in the meetings? You need to exercise your spirit. You need to get into the morning revival. Call on the Lord. Yes, we need to call on the Lord. Yes, we need to exercise our spirit. Yes, we need to get into the ministry. But if I'm wounded, I can't do it. I can't. Who's the guy in Luke 10? He was there. He was wounded. He couldn't get up. And the Lord says, come on. It's too touching, you all. And the Lord says, he binds up his wound. He puts him on his own beast. Then he brings him to the meeting, the inn, the meeting. Now, I'm not saying bring him to the meeting. I'm saying you take care of him one-on-one. Here's the Lord. He says, come on. Lord by himself, not in the home meeting. We need to get him into the home meeting. But initially, I need to take care of him by myself, one-on-one. Bind up his wound. Pour in the oil, the wine. Oh, oh. And then the Lord says, whatever you spent, I'll take care of it when I come back. Dear saints, there's an unfading crown of glory. If we shepherd one another, there is something at the end waiting for us. At the E-N-E-N-D, not I-N-N. But also at the I-N-N, which typifies the church. I don't know if you can translate that, Grace. So how do we go? I would like to leave you with this one verse. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. How do we go visit one another? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, and let's read verse 35. And if you don't have it, I'm going to read because of time. 35. Ezekiel 36, 35. And they will say that this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate. That's the dormant saints. That's the backslidden saints. That's the hurt saints. That's the saints that are in difficult situations. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. You look at the footnote. The footnote says, in the Lord's recovery by life, his people become like the Garden of Eden, that's us, in which Christ, as the tree of life, is their rich supply. We go as a refreshing Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure. That means what? We come with showers of blessing. That means what? We have to be those who take in the Blessed One. Then we know what to say. We know what to do. Anyway, there's a lot more that I'm burdened for, but you're gonna say, oh, Willie, you and Dexter took up the entire break. So we need to shepherd you and take a little break.